Why do you do things like, you know, kicking your pulpit, jumping up on your pulpit?
That used to be what every independent fundamental Baptist did. You know, usually that was the criticism you'd hear from the watered-down liberal contemporary churches. But fundamental Baptists have a long tradition of screaming, beating the pulpit, foaming at the mouth, throwing things, kicking over microphone stands. I mean, that's just part of being a fundamental Baptist. And the Bible says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, smite with thy hand, stomp with thy foot. You know, that's the Bible's mandate.
Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And this is a quote from back in Deuteronomy where he's saying, look, the word of God is near. You don't have to send for a faraway country. You don't have to go to some foreign land or cross the sea to get it. Hey, the word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. It's the word of faith which we preach. Listen to me. My life was transformed as a teenager when I realized that the King James Bible was the word of God. But the devil wants you to listen to all these people because he wants you to feel like the word of God is not nigh you. I'm here to tell you tonight, the word of God is nigh you.
Assemblies. That means that the pastor should be up here with a hammer every service. And the Bible says that God's word's like a hammer in Jeremiah. So basically, a pastor, spiritually speaking, should get up here with a hammer in his hand and just start hammering things down. Just I'm sick of everything floating around and drifting around and you know, everybody's being tossed around. Let's just hammer this thing down tonight and just hammer it down. It's not going anywhere. Yeah, you know, hammer it down. But it's not that it hasn't been hammered down. It keeps drifting up. And I have to keep hammering it down, you know? And, you know, this one pops up. It's like that game where things pop up and you got to, you know. But you know what? We need pastoral whack-a-mole. We need Whack-A-Mole Baptist Church, where the pastor, he sees things starting to loosen up. He say, oh, Yeshua, bam! You know, oh, you know, oh, maybe Jesus didn't die for everybody. Bam! Shut that Calvinism up! Amen. Died for everybody! You know, it's like, oh, well, maybe the New King James isn't that bad. Bam! You know, oh, well, let's have a woman get up and preach. Bam! Amen. Well, maybe it is pre-trib. Amen. You know, and look, this is what it means to be a pastor. All these little nails are popping up everywhere, and you got to get a hammer in each hand and be like, wham, 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 wham. Say, why do you beat the pulpit? Because it's just to remind me that I need to be up here hammering things down. Look, why doesn't anybody want to just hear the truth anymore? It doesn't matter whether it's positive or negative, in season, out of season, good, evil. Hey, if it's the truth, it's the truth. Amen. And listen to me. My heart breaks for the unsaved of this country. And, you know, I'm going to do something about it. Amen. If we have to evangelize this whole state by ourselves, we'll do it by ourselves. Amen. And then we'll evangelize the whole nation.
Amen. We're going to go to the soul-winning marathon. We're going down to Guyana. We're going to Malawi. We're going to Botswana. You know, we're going to this place. We're going to Toronto, Canada. We're going behind enemy lines in Toronto, Canada. You know, preach the gospel up there. Hey, that's our fun. That's our battle. That's our struggle. And look, when we get thrown out of countries, we love it. Amen. If we get arrested, we love it. Amen. We love it. When they attack us, when they fight us, we love it. Amen. Bring it on. Amen. Why? Because it's what we do for kicks. I'm serious. It's what we do for kicks. What I do for kicks.
You say, oh, why are you so down on the independent Baptist movement? You want to know why I'm down on it? Because I go up to Cibacue, Arizona, to the Apache Reservation, and I drive 3 hours with a group from our church to knock doors, and you know who's there also? We saw the Jehovah's Witnesses. Who else did we see? We saw the Mormons. But you know who we didn't see? The stupid, lazy, worthless Baptists. That's who we didn't see. Let me tell you something. There's a reason why this world's going to hell. There's a reason why that the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses are teaching all their lies and getting way more doors knocked than the Baptists, and why the Baptist churches are dropping the ball and failing in Arizona and all over America. There's a reason why, because they've been infiltrated by unsaved people. And I'm talking about the guy behind the pulpit. I'm saying a lot of these pastors are not even saved. You won't find them down in Sacaton, Arizona. You're not going to find them up in Cibicue, Arizona, because there's no money there. And then you know what? These fools, and listen to me, I'm sick of it. I'm taking the gloves off. Amen. You know what these bunch of dispensational idiots say? Oh, well, you're going to start a church in Cibicue now that you won those people to the Lord? Oh, you just got those people saved, and now they're just like sheep having no shepherd. Well, you know what? You're letting this whole stupid world go to hell. And then you have the gall to ask me, well, are you going to provide a church? Why don't you provide a church for them in Solo, Arizona? There's already a Baptist church. I just wish it was worth a dime. And then it's our fault. We go down to these cities, we go to these Indian reservations, we go to these places, and we do the job that they're failing to do to give the gospel. And then they have the gall to say, well, are you going to plant a church there? Why don't you turn your stupid church around and then we could tell them to go to your church if you'd quit preaching lies, if you'd quit preaching heresy. And you know what? Let me tell you something. I'm sick of it. And I'm not going to back down, and I'm sick of people not backing me up on this. And you know what? If you're not going to back us up, then get out of here. We don't need your help. You know what? We have hundreds of people here that will not compromise, and if you're not one of them, then get out. I don't want to hang around with a bunch of fag hags and a bunch of queer baits and a bunch of effeminates. Get out. Look, no one in a million years would have thought when I was a child that our country would ever accept this stuff amongst Christians. You are insane. You think I'm preaching too hard? You have lost your mind.
Want me to keep going? I'm going to go one more. Galatians chapter 3. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faith with Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. All throughout the Bible, it's by faith, not by works. Abraham was justified by faith, not by works. David was justified by faith, not by works. And guess what? That's how we're justified.
World, you know, sometimes we can get discouraged and we think, man, I just give my life to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We got salt winning on Saturday or salt winning on Sunday, and I got to give 10% of my money to the church, and I got to, you know, my vacations consist of the prophecy conference and the Red Hot Preaching Conference. You know, and my neighbor's going on cruises, and they're buying new cars, and they're enjoying the world, and you know, they don't want to get saved. But look, the millennial reign is a time when you and I, we get to enjoy this world.
And you can say whatever you want about your stupid Israel, and you know what? Nuts to stupid Israel. To hell with them. They hate Jesus Christ. And if any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Amen. Maranatha.
Amen. Oh, Israel, our glory.
No, Christ in you, the hope of glory, except Christ isn't in you because you're an unsaved false prophet. And you know, I'm sick of all these little baby Christians that they're like, oh, let's stop fighting. Hey, listen, Brother Rodney King, why don't you shut up and let a man of God fight a battle in our generation? You know, I'm not going to let this country be taken over by these bunch of phony Baptist fools. Half their congregation agrees with us. Right. These idiots need to be thrown out of the pulpit, and they need to get an actually born-again man of God behind the pulpit who knows the name of Jesus and knows Bible doctrine and who actually gives a rip about unsaved people who are dying and going to hell all over Arizona and all over America. Amen. Bunch of idiots want to pick us apart. Bunch of losers. Amen. Bunch of failures. Huh? I said failures. You know what? Any church that scales back soul winning to once a month is a joke and a social club, and it's ridiculous, and they're playing games and they're playing church. This world is not hearing the gospel because of people like you who want to sit around and say, oh, God's going to get it done on his own. No, he told you to do it.
Amen.
If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And why don't you do what Christ said? And go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why? Because he said you're saving with fear. You're pulling them out of the fire. It's not just some game that we play.
When you preach about hell, when you talk about eternal punishment in hell, you're just trying to scare people. You better know I'm trying to scare people. Because it's by the fear of the Lord that men depart from evil. It's the fear of the Lord that will cause men to depart from hell beneath. And if I could scare someone into getting saved, some save with fear. Pulling them out of the fire, the Bible says, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Look at Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
Because the Bible says in the book of Psalms that the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Well, guess what, Stephen Hawking? You believe that there's a God now. You're not an atheist anymore because God's punishing you in the bottomless pit. And one of the things he said was that, you know, God doesn't exist because of gravity. Well, there's no gravity in hell where you're burning. There's no gravity. It's the bottomless pit. It just never ends. That's where he is right now. And every single atheist in this world, that's where they're going to go as well if they don't put their trust on Jesus. If they don't trust Jesus for salvation, they're going to burn in the bottomless pit with Stephen Hawking. That's where he is. That's where he's going to stay for all eternity. And there's no chance for him to get saved ever again. He blew it.
What about churches that aren't King James? You know what they are? Lame, watered down, not soul winning.
And this is what it's stating here, is that he came by water and blood. He was flesh and blood. He was partaker with the children of flesh and blood, and it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, that he might make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And that's the big difference between what we believe and what the Bible teaches from every other religion in the world, is that that God became one of us to take our place. The substitutionary death of Jesus Christ is critical for salvation.
And you know what? This is one of the biggest things I constantly wish I could get across to people, is to look at the fruit. The tree is known by its fruit. Look for the fruit. Look for the souls that are being saved. Look for the lives that are being changed. Look for the fruit of the King James versus the fruit of the modern versions. The fruit of the modern versions is liberalism, feminism, modernism, wickedness creeping into the churches. That's what's going on.
They hate that purity that's there. So what do? On the magazines, they're going to put Bruce Jenner in a swimsuit, a female swimsuit. Why? To defile the minds of your kids, to make them lose their innocence. That's why it's all over on the television. Everywhere you go, they want to show it on the news. Every big event that goes on, they have that garbage shoved down our throats. Why? They want your children to see it. They want to defile their minds.
All the churches who are like, oh, let's just open our doors and just love everybody. Look, no queers allowed in this church. And all God's people said,
amen.
Is that even legal? Against such, there is no law.
Right.
No homos will ever be allowed on this church as long as I'm the pastor here. Yeah. Never!
Our church is geared toward the saved, not the unsaved. Yeah. We understand that church is geared to the saved, not the unsaved. Why is that important? It's important because saved people and unsaved people want completely different things, and you can't please both. You've got to choose. Why? The whole world's already geared toward the unsaved. TV's geared toward the unsaved. Radio's for the unsaved. Magazines that are geared toward the unsaved. Can't there just be one place where we could go in this world just to get away from all that stuff and just to set foot into an oasis that's for us? a place for us to hear things that we believe in and to be edified and strengthened in our faith, not to have our faith torn down, not to be tempted with the things of this world, but a place that's geared toward the saved. This is the biggest mistake, I believe, that churches are making today, is that they're gearing their church toward the unsaved. They feel that they have to be worldly. They feel that they have to dumb down the message. They feel that they have to water things down and make it really easy for unsaved people to walk in and fit in and be able to accept the message. One of the terms that they'll use is seeker sensitive. Now, we're glad that there are babes in Christ in the church. Everybody starts out as a babe. There's nothing wrong with being a babe in Christ. It's where we've all started. And the Bible says we can't be children because we'll be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We need some strong Bible teaching. We need some doctrine. We need some meat on the bone so that at least we can have some men in the church that would stand up to false doctrine and say no, because they know what they believe. They know why they believe it. They can defend what they believe, and they can fight against the false doctrine when it tries to creep in.
Okay. Now, why are people bored with an average church? Well, number one, because the preaching is lame and powerless. You know why people get bored with an average church? Because the preaching sucks. Let me just be real honest with you, okay? People get bored with church because the preaching has become garbage. It's become lame. And look, it's not because they have a lame Bible. It's because they're not praying for power. They're not preaching through the entire Word of God. They're not hitting on controversial subjects. You know, people tell me, oh, you guys are so controversial. All you do is talk about controversial things. You mean the Bible? You mean the Word of God? Yeah, the Word of God is controversial. I don't know if you knew that. You know, talk about the whore. Hey, if you use biblical terms like bastard, whore, and ass, you wake some people up in the church. You just showed your ignorance of God's Word because those words are in the Bible. And look, people get excited at biblical preaching. Bible preaching. You know, the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's an exciting book to read. It's an exciting book to preach.
Amen. Their minds. It's not enough that they could go wherever they want on the internet and see whatever garbage that they want. It's not enough that they could go to some perverted bookstore and get whatever filth and garbage. You know what? They want to show it to your kids too. And one of the things that perverts often do, one of the ways they kind of groom people, you know what they do? They get young people and they show them pornographic images. That's what they, what are they doing? They're defiling their minds. They're not going to do it to one of their other pervert buddies. Why don't they just go show it to their pervert buddy? Okay? They're not interested in them. They're interested in getting to those that are pure because they are defilers. And once they defile them, they'll move on and go to something else. That's what they do. They are defilers, and they want to spread their filth. And that is that's why it's not so much that they are recruiting. They're just defiling. They just want to make everything bad. They want to make everything nasty. You know, when you're dirty, when you're filthy, when you stink, you want everybody else to stink too. That's just the way it is. And that is exactly how they are. And that's, I believe, is why they wanted these angels, because they wanted to defile them.
I don't care who it is in this church. I'm not going to sit there and drop my kids off. And especially they'll sit there and, oh yeah, drop them off for an overnighter, drop them off for this retreat, drop them off all day. No! You've got to watch your kids. We are living in perilous times. God said in the last days, perilous times shall come. We are living in those days. Perilous means dangerous. We're living in those dangerous times where you cannot be too careful with your children. That's part of the reason why we don't have Sunday school here. Oh, but they're from church. Oh, we did a background check. It means nothing. It means nothing. And we've got to protect our children.
You know, and we need to make sure that we always draw that line. That real preaching from the wheat is fiery. Amen. It purges Christians. It purges churches from sin. You know, people are like, well, you know, my pastor, he preaches pretty hard. You know, James White. He's a hard preacher. Heard that sermon on adultery? Fire. They're like, fire. This is James White's preaching right here. Yeah, I didn't even blow on it. It already blew out. This is John MacArthur. This is Pastor Anderson. Right? This is how you know it's real fire preaching. When the pastor's preaching on sin and you feel like he's talking to you and your face just gets red. Little beads of sweat start showing up on your forehead. And you're mad at your wife because you think that she probably said something to the pastor. Right? It's called the Holy Spirit. It's called fire. This is the difference here. Watered down preaching helps no one. It's watered down. It dilutes the contents of God's word.
You know, if we were to go to a Bible college today and they were to teach on how to start a church and what to preach on and how to run things, it would literally be the opposite of everything we do practically. Right. I mean, when I was in Bible college, they pretty much taught me virtually the opposite of almost everything I do. I'm not kidding. Everything they say is practically the opposite of that which we do. Because they're wrong and we're right. You know, you say, well, that's prideful. No, no, they're the ones that are prideful if they think that they can make up their own methods that aren't from the Bible. We're humble enough to do it the way the Bible says. If the Bible says don't make it a house of merchandise, we're not going to sell anything. Amen. We're going to give it all away for free. Everything on those back shelves, it's free. Amen. Take it, it's free. Take as many as you want, it's free. But they say, no, 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 sell everything. That's what I was taught in Bible college. Sell everything.
Later on. But notice in verse 9 there, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Everybody will confess one day that Jesus is God. That he is the Lord God Almighty, that he's the Lord of glory, as the Bible says. He's the Lord from heaven. The second Adam is the Lord from heaven. He came down on this earth. He was God manifest in the flesh. He's the Word made flesh, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he's going to come back again as the Word of God, as the King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus is God. He's a part of the Trinity. The Trinity is made up of three persons, and that's what we believe here. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, these three are one, and we're going to hold to that until the day I die. And this church will always stand on the Trinity, a clear presentation on the fact that God is three persons in one, and not this modalist, this oneness Pentecostal garbage that's being perpetuated now, even in the Baptist churches. Why don't you leave that to the cults? Amen. Let the cults have that garbage, because it doesn't line up with Scripture, because I'm not just hanging on a couple verses here. I'm hanging on. How many places did we go? I didn't even count up all the verses and all the different books we went into, but we're going into Genesis tonight. We were in Exodus. We were in Isaiah. We were in Daniel. We were in all these different places. We were in all throughout the New Testament, and it's just everywhere. So Jesus is God. He's part of the Godhead, and you have to believe that in order to be saved.
So he says, the Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. We preach neither. We preach neither. We preach the Bible. We preach Christ crucified. We preach what God told us to preach. We're not taking a poll to figure out what the Greeks want to hear, figure out what the Jews want to hear, figure out what the poor people want to hear, what the Hispanics want to hear, what the Republican talk radio crowd wants to hear, what the liberal crowd wants to hear. No! We're just going to preach what the Bible says, and people can like it or they can lump it, because it's the Word of God.
So when the Bible describes people as being filthy, what are those people? It's the God haters. It's the atheist. It's the guy that declares that God doesn't even exist. What kind of blasphemy to say that God doesn't exist? When it's so obvious. They're without excuses what the Bible says. It's manifest that God exists today. It's manifest that we're his creation. For someone to say the filthy statement of there is no God, that is filthy communication. They're filthy.
First of all, the NIV is missing 16 entire verses from the New Testament. I mean, just right out of the gate, before we talk about all the thousands of changes, just 16 verses are completely missing. Matthew 17, 21, gone. Matthew 18, 11, gone. For the Son of Man has come to seek, to save that which was lost, gone. Acts 8, 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That verse is gone from the NIV, gone from the ESV, gone from the New Living Translation. 1 John 5, 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Gone from these modern versions. 16 verses right out of the gate, just gone.
You say, what are you alluding to? Well, sometimes you'll use a word like ass, bastard, hell, damn, damnation, piss, whore, whoremonger, harlot, dung. Oh, don't let that corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, Pastor Shelley. Well, that's funny because all those words are in the Bible. Every single word I just said is found in your King James Bible this morning. Hopefully you have a King James in your hand this morning because otherwise you don't have a Bible. But if you have a Bible, it has all of those words, and that's not a corrupt communication. Let me prove that. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, notice, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Bible says that God's word is not corrupt, period. So you know what? Ass and bastard and hell and damn are not corrupt words. You can't accuse me of speaking corrupt communication because I used God's word.
So from 1604 to 1610, the KJV was translated by 54 of the greatest scholars that existed at that time. But you're so much better when you go back to the Greek, right, with your little lexicon. Your pastor that can barely quote the Greek alphabet. Your pastor that can barely even pronounce the words in Greek, who's always telling you, unfortunately, the King James is a little off on this point. What it really should say. But this guy didn't know what he's talking about. The guy who was an expert in Latin, Greek, Hebrew, Chaldean, Syriac, Arabic, and he also spoke 15 modern languages. That's one guy out of the 54 people that translated the King James Bible over the course of 7 years. Do you think that kind of scholarship existed on these modern Bible translation committees?
No.
Let me help you. It didn't.
These Christians, we got to make Jesus the Lord of our life, Christians, to repent of your sins. It's not a religion, it's a relationship. Those people, huh? Never read the Bible cover to cover. Hey, they've never even read the book of Jude cover to cover, right? They're like, hey, can we at least read one chapter? Come on now.
So we don't want our church to be built on talent, personality, or human ability. We want our church to be built on the power of God, the Spirit of God. And that means that people who have a bad background, people who have problems in their life, people who are financially messed up, physically messed up, emotionally messed up, you know what? But they love the Lord. God says, you know what? I can take that motley crew. I can take that group of people who love me and want to serve me, and I can turn an area upside down. I can turn the world upside down.
How do we know we're following the right way? Because Jesus says, I am the way. So if we're following Jesus, then we are following the way. We're following the truth. We're following the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus. So we know that we're following the right thing because we're following what Jesus said.
Just as Jesus had his cross to bear, just as Jesus had the cup that he had to drink, you know what? We all have the cup that we have to drink. And it's different for everybody. We all have the thorn that we have to endure. Are you going to endure it? He endured the cross. Will you endure your cross? Will you pick up your cross and follow Christ? Or do you want the easy life? Or do you want your best life now? Or do you want the easy Christianity down at the comfortable church where everybody makes you feel good and good devil, good sin, cold hell type of a church? It's out there. Or do you want to go to Take Up Your Cross Baptist Church?
Amen.
Thorn in the Flesh Baptist Church?
Amen.
Sufferings of Christ Baptist Church?
And God says, look, I'm going to judge you guys. And the judgment is going to be so harsh that even just hearing it would cause your ears to hurt. What is the tingle?
It's a burning sensation. It's uncomfortable. You know, if you hear a really annoying sound or a really high-pitched scream, it just hurts your ear. He's saying just hearing the judgment that's coming from God is going to make your ears bleed. It's going to make your ears hurt this morning. Oh, man. Would to God we wouldn't have any judgment. Look, not just the judgment, just hearing it. Just hearing how God's going to judge them.
You know, everybody will look at Bible-believing Christians today and preachers who preach hard on sin, and they say, oh, Pastor Anderson's so hateful. But you know what the Bible calls hateful is the iniquity of people who don't fear the Lord. That's what is hateful. Right. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And today we have a lot of people who love in word, they love in tongue, their mouth makes very great and fair speeches, and with their tongue they show much love, but according to the Bible, their iniquity shows them to be hateful. And on the flip side of that, there are a lot of people who talk a lot about love, but they're not loving in deed. Don't just love in tongue, the Bible says, love in deed and in truth. Isn't it interesting that the churches today in America that are doing the most soul winning, that are having the strongest outreach, knocking the most doors, and winning thousands of people to the Lord are the same churches that preach the hardest against sin? And then the churches you say, oh, you guys are so mean. You're so judgmental. You're so hateful. You're too negative. Are the same ones who don't give a rip about all the people that are dying and going to hell. Why? Because their love is all talk. Why? Because their love is dissimulated. That's why. See, it's easy to just get up and say, oh, I just love everybody. Oh, we just love our city. We just love our community. We just love the lost. Yeah, we just hate the sin, and we just love the sinner. Yeah, you love him so much that you won't witness to him.
Right.
You love him so much that you've scaled back soul winning to once a month.
Right.
You love him so much that you rarely preach the gospel while the hate group down in Tempe is going out soul winning every day. Why? Because it's real love.
Amen.
We actually do love the lost. We actually care. We actually want to get people saved. And when we say, I love you, you know that we really mean it. Because if we hated you, we'd tell you.
Right.
Bunch of fake frauds going around with just all their love, love, love. But their iniquity shows how hateful they are.
Right.
Their lack of soul winning shows the hate. Their unwillingness to preach on sin shows me that there's no fear of God before their eyes.
Amen.
Why should I be defensive about preaching the truth? Why should I have to explain myself or apologize for the truth? Well, I could explain what I meant. You know, yeah, here's what I meant. I hate these bunch of filthy perverts.
Amen.
Go put it in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah.
But see, today, all the preachers are running scared. They're on the defense. They're trying to do damage control. Like, well, you know, that's not really what the Bible meant in all 45 of those verses. You know, they're all 45 of them are out of context. Look, what we need is preachers that are on the offense, that are taking it to the enemy instead of just cowering in fear and hiding all the time. Be like, oh, well, you know, I mean. And look, the sodomites today, they're not on the defense. The God-hating liberals of our day, they're not on the defense. They're on the offense. And you know what? We're just in full retreat as Christians, just running scared. And then everybody gets all excited. Look at that bravery. Look at that warrior. Look at that fighter. They've thrown down all the weapons. Every once in a while, as they're just in full sprint, fleeing from the enemy, they turn around and give them a finger gun, like, pew. It's not going to get it done, friend. We need to start rolling in the tanks of God's word. We need to start rolling in some preachers with some serious armored divisions to come in and fire some serious salvos at the enemy. Look, we need to turn this thing around today. Quit running scared. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And you know, our church has never sounded the retreat yet in 12 years, and we're not going to start now.
Amen.
Year 13, 2018, it's going to be forward movement only.
Amen.
There's going to be no retreat. There's going to be no backing off.
There's going to be no enemy advancement. No, no, no. They're not even going to get 1 yard of ground this year. In fact, we might even take a few yards from them.
They have no chastisement. They're loved of the world. They're ecumenical as hell. I don't want to touch them with a 10-foot pole. And guess what? We're not going to go link hands with some southern bastard convention. I'm not going to go start a church plant with some southern bastard convention.
And don't ever be shy about being King James only. Don't ever be like, well, you know, yeah, I mean, we're King James. You know what the attitude should be? Of course we're King James. Of course we're King James. What, don't you believe that God preserved his word in every generation? I mean, don't you believe when Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away? Of course we don't believe in a Bible that was dug up in an archaeological dig 1,800 years after Jesus, 1,900 years after Jesus. That's not God's word.
Hey, take this Christian life serious. Take heed unto thyself. Each and every day, take heed to yourself. Love your pastor. Love your church. Love your church members. Love the Bible. Love soul winning. Love God. Love His commandments. Love truth. You have to, and you have to do it with all thy might.
Amen.
In this dark and this crooked and perverse nation. Let's bow.
Because of the fact that Jesus Christ is victorious at the Battle of Armageddon, because of the fact that we'll be judged on this earth for the way that the things we did, the way we lived our life, because of the fact that the millennial reign is one day coming, literally, for real. We don't have to bring it in. Jesus will bring it in. Because of the fact that God will be victorious at the battle of Gog and Magog. Because of all of that, the Bible says this: therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's the title of my sermon tonight. What does it mean to know God? What is it to see God? I don't believe that Jesus was talking about physically seeing God. The Bible says no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and His love is perfected in us. I know that Moses in Hebrews chapter 11 is described as enduring seeing Him who is invisible, seeing God. Paul talks about here in Philippians 3, if you look down at your Bible, he talks about the driving force in his life. You ever wonder, when you think about the Apostle Paul, what would motivate a man to go through some of the things that Paul went through? I mean, he was beaten with rods 3 different times. 5 different times he received 40 stripes, save one. He was shipwrecked, he was stoned, he was left for dead. He was in hunger and want and all kinds of adversity. Why did he do it? Why did he keep going? What kept him going? Well, it's found right here. The Bible says in verse number 8, ye doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And then down in verse number 10, he said that I may know him. See, his goal, I wonder what the goal of your life is. I wonder what the goal of Christians is. I wonder what the goal of most preachers is. Now, I have many goals in my life. I have a goal to see as many people saved as I can. That's why I went to Phoenix, Arizona to start a church, knocking doors. Yes, that's how I started my church. Yes, that's how I'm going to continue to see God bless that church. Yes, door-to-door soul winning is what works in 2007. Yes, preaching the gospel to every creature. Not handing out a flyer. Not just inviting somebody to church, but opening my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Hey, that's what I'm talking about, soul winning. I have other goals in my life. I have a goal to see Faithful Word Baptist Church grow to greater proportions. I have a goal to raise my family, my children for God. I have a goal, many goals. But I see the Apostle Paul's goal, and I'm sure he had all those same type of goals. I know he did. But he had another great goal that was the driving force all the time. He said that I may know him.
When you see somebody knocking every door in the city and preaching the Word of God, it's always somebody with a King James. Folks, let me tell you something. The Word is near you tonight, and I hope that tonight, if you hadn't grasped this before, you can grasp this and realize what you're holding in your hand.
realize the treasure that you have, realize the power of that book, and I hope you'll go home and read it every day because you'll realize, wow, God has given me His perfect word. I've got 31,000 some odd verses, 1,189 chapters straight from the mouth of God, straight from the mouth of God. Unfiltered. This is what God said. This is what God wants you to hear. Have you read it? Read it.
All right, now, I've got the holy water here. And if those of you who've been Catholic, you know this is real, what I'm about to do, okay? All right. Now, don't worry. This is clean. This has never been used before, okay? So, all right. Pax Vobiscum. Pax Vobiscum. All right, everybody, this is going to keep the vampires and zombies away. All right, don't worry about zombies and all the different undead creatures, temptations. You won't be tempted anymore. The deliverance doctrine. All right, Pax Vobiscum. All right, oh, that was a little too much. All right, everyone, here you are. Here's your holy water. Be sure to cross yourselves regularly. All right.
Now you say, well, Pastor Anderson, you're being ridiculous. Yeah, this is no more stupid and ridiculous than what goes on in Roman Catholic churches. Every Sunday is not Christianity. It's not of the Bible. It's not of the New Testament. It's a bunch of hocus pocus today. It's crazy.